Welcome to the show that'll keep you from falling behind during the week. With your hostesses with no ghostesses, Jackie and Belinda, here for the Friday Catch-Up on the Paraquest Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of Friday Catch-Up. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Guess who's back?
Hiya.
It's
Allie.
Yay.
So the Battle of the Accents continues once more. Although we've been talking for an hour and I haven't had a slip up yet, so that's good news.
Yeah.
You have? I did?
Yeah.
When?
Oh, like I'm going to remember the exact moment, but I've heard you do it twice so far.
Crap.
But at least we can hear you this week.
Yes.
Yay!
And you don't sound like Pee Wee Herman.
No, but on the other hand, I probably sound something like James Earl Jones.
That's all right. He'd be sexy.
I'd be sexy then.
Duh.
Oh, dear. Okay, so it has been an entire week since the last show, and after our recording last week, we no longer have a female Prime Minister in Australia.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. I got off the computer from recording, and I sort of looked at my Facebook. I'm like, okay, people are getting pretty persnickety about things. I'm like, alrighty. So, you know, avoiding the TV because the kiddo's off having a sleepover and all that junk. And then it's like my mum comes onto Facebook and she's like, oh, isn't it a horrible thing that's happening in Parliament? I'm like, what? What's happening in Parliament? She's like, Julia Gillard's been outed by that awful man, Rudd. Well, she probably didn't say exactly that. She certainly didn't sound like that. But
I was about to say, so is that what your mom sounds like?
No, she sounds a lot like me, which is rather scary. And oh,
she should come on.
Well, maybe one day we might convince her to.
I think that's why she keeps, like, photobombing herself. Like, she keeps like, oh, I'm sorry, I had no idea. It's because she actually wants to be a guest, but she doesn't want to actually...
You know, she
ask
did
it.
Ring up that one time, maybe. So anyway, my favourite show's about to come on, and they're just rehashing old crap on the TV, and it's like, you've got digital channels to do that with. Get off the normal channel and go and talk about that somewhere else. I want to watch my program, which just happened to be a Princess Bride-themed program. And it's like,
oh, cool.
I want to watch my show. Go away. And it was just politicians' faces everywhere, and it was horrible, and it was a nightmare. And then at 9 o'clock came around, and it was on a different channel. So I'm like, hee-hee-hee, my show's still on. So I didn't have to watch politics all night.
Yay!
So
in
the meantime, yes, we now have Kevin Rudd back, who was the person that got outed when Julia Gillard came into government. So we're kind of recycling the old shit. Literally. And yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, that kind of reminds me of Jeff Foxworthy talks about, you know, back when he was a kid, they only had like three channels on TV. And you would run around the house going, the president's on TV! He's on every channel!
I can remember back when I lived in Bundaberg when I was sort of in single digits and we only had two channels. So you knew it was serious when it was on both channels. And it was like, there really is nothing on. Two whole channels and there's nothing on. Oh my God.
Well, there was a bit of good news which happened shortly after. Actually, I think it happened the next day after we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
DOMA and Prop 8 were ruled unconstitutional and were kicked out.
Yay!
Yay!
And for those of you that don't know, DOMA stands for Defense of Marriage Act, which is the rule they put down saying that only a male and a female could get married, and if you were in a gay union, you would not get any benefits, blah, blah, blah. They didn't recognize gay marriage, anything like that. That was set down in 93, 96, something like that, wow. by Bill Clinton, ironically mm-hmm. enough.
Why would Bill Clinton do that? I thought he was more progressive than that.
Well, he is from Arkansas, so I guess some of the Arkansas blood never...
Arkansas.
We know where the Arkansas blood was pumping.
Yeah.
In the Oval Office.
And the Arkansas seed was all over Monica Lewinsky's dress. Arkansas boy bread. Yeehaw! But,
See, this is the point I'd be complaining about breakfast radio.
Sorry.
You're right.
I was going to say, start the show in the gutter and it can only go upwards from there.
Oh, I don't know. You haven't seen the stories I've picked out this week.
Obviously don't know me.
Have you got any S-word stories? Because seriously,
I was
traumatised last time. So
There's no S-word ones. Promise.
Right.
There is one about the royal family, though.
I can see the chat room now. All those people that weren't there last time. What's the S word story? What are you talking about? Are you talking about shit? No, we're not. And then, well, wait, Allie won't be there, so it'll be okay. We can talk about it.
We can talk about it in the room. However, we can't talk about it now because that would be mean and nasty. And there was one in her house the other day, wasn't there?
Oh, yes.
And you slept on your couch, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Until it went away and I couldn't see it anymore.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not saying a word.
2 days I spent on the couch for that.
And how many times do you think it came out and looked over the thing and went, hee, hee, hee?
Oh, no, totally different room. So unless it could come down the corridor and open two doors, and to be honest, it looked big enough to reach the handle to me. I was fairly sure it could probably do it, but
it probably came out. Do you have any beer?
It was that big that it could have sat next to me on the couch and played Couch Commando with the remote control. I'm telling you.
Laid back with a bowl of popcorn. Hey, stop.
Stop hungering the popcorn. Yeah. Can I bum a puff?
Hey, you got one of those cigarette things. Can I have one? Really? You kill people. You can't smoke too. Bitch, I do what I want. I'll scare you in your sleep. Okay, here, have a cigarette.
Oh, and at this point, Ellie's pulled the headphones off and she's going, oh my God.
No, but I have kind of, if something tickles you right in the middle of your back, so your shoulders go back, that's the position I'm sat in at the moment.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
This is that moment where every single time your hair touches you, you're like, oh God.
Oh, for days. For days if I've seen one. It's terrible.
This is why I had my hair cut.
No.
Yeah.
Real quick on hair. So, my ex-husband and I have always had this competition going on of whose hair is the longest. Well, he had his trimmed, so he's still trying to act like his is longer. I finally looked at him. I was like, dude, when I brush my hair, I'm brushing my crotch, too. I was like, when I stand up and my hair has been perfectly straightened, I've got, like, hair. I have to wear pants. Otherwise, hair will go in the crack of my butt. Don't talk to me about how long your hair is.
Nice. Oh, lovely.
Nice mental picture. Thank you.
You're welcome. Made your ass hair. It's great.
Hairy butt.
Exactly.
So, yes, Thursday last week, so the day after we recorded last week, I actually went to the hairdresser and just, they're like, oh, do you know what you want to do? I'm like, get rid of this, pointing to my hair. Not pointing to the kiddo, pointing to my hair.
which hair?
Well, hers is
ass hair.
Her head hair is just about probably partway down her butt now. So I just look at it and it just makes me want to cringe because I'm just like, oh, it's so long and she's got such thick hair and it's like a rope when you're tied into a braid and it's just, oh, I hate it because mine's so thin, straight, and you can't do anything with it. But anyway, she hands me the book and says, okay, we'll pick out something. I went, flick, flick, that. She goes, are you sure? It's like, yes, get rid of it. She's like, okay. So she put the smock on me and she's like, I'm going to have to take some of the length off it. I'm like, yeah. Generally, that's the whole point when you go to get a haircut. It is to get some of the length taken off. So she actually technically cut my hair 3 times because she had to take some of the length off it to sort of let it, you know, get to a point where she could actually work on it without killing her wrist. And then she sort of got it to the length that she wanted and then she shaped it. So she's just about taken to my hair with this razor and, you know, yeah, like a straight blade razor. And it took probably good on an hour.
Jeez.
And I get to craft today because Wednesdays is our craft day and my mother-in-law comes to craft and she didn't say anything. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you didn't notice. And she's like, yeah, I did notice. I just wasn't saying anything. I'm like, okay, this is the best haircut I've ever had. Woohoo! We're sticking with this one for a while. She's like, oh, it would have been nicer if it was a bit longer. I'm like, that defeats the purpose. It's supposed to be short.
But I need to get my hair cut.
Took my boss 10 minutes to figure out I'd had my hair cut. And then he still asked.
Well, guys are like that, aren't they? And they're never sure if they're going to put their foot in it, because if they ask and you haven't, then, you know, it's a bit like asking someone if they're pregnant and they're not.
Oh, men get scared of those things.
Did you cut your hair? No, I had a fight with a lawnmower and I lost. What kind of question is that? Oh, God.
I definitely need my hair cut because I've got really thick hair as well. And it's just, it takes me, because I tie it back, I nearly always tie it back because I don't like hair around my face. If I go out with my hair wet and tied back, it literally is still exactly, it's barely dried through the day. When I go to bed and I take the bubble out, it's just really wet in the middle.
Oh, gosh. Like,
that means
that was what was so weird about going to New Mexico. Like, I'm used to being in Louisiana where it's very humid, it's very wet, it's very, you know, you walk outside with your hair wet, it's going to dry and it's going to be this frizzy ball of sweat. And like I have natural waves in my hair, and part of that is due to the humidity. So I go over to New Mexico, which is in the desert, so there's no humidity. I get out of the shower 10 minutes later, I'm like, my hair, it's dry.
And it's not frizzy. Oh, my God, what happened?
It's not. And it was, like, straight with just a little bit of wave at the bottom. It was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Oh, dear. Love it. Did you read anything this week, you two?
I haven't. I really, really haven't had much in the way of time. But I've got a book lined up. It's by Mark Nash, who I mentioned last week, called Time After Time, and I bought it for my Kindle. It's kind of time travel type thing, so that's, well, Time After Time, where Terminator and Looper meet Attack the Block.
Okay.
How it's been described, so I'm looking forward to reading that, but I've got such a backlog of work at the moment that I think I'm going to have to wait till I'm on the coach to London before I can read again.
Aww. What about you, Jackie?
I'm not...
What about you, Jackie? You've been reading?
Well, I started reading... Let's see. Hang on. I have actually worked up quite a to-read list. Let's see. I'm not even going to bother looking up the... I'm going to bother looking up book descriptions. But the first one is Familiar Stranger by Victoria Darien, I think, or Danon. I can't read on my, I can't see the title very well on the Kindle without enlarging it. Mm-hmm. Then I have Burn Bright, Angel Arias, and Shine Light by Marianne Depere.
Yay!
I have Fire Dance by Del Jacobs, which, if you remember correctly, last week I was talking about another book she wrote called Loki's Daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've also got The One You Love by Paul Pilkington, which is set in London. And I think that's it. I seem to remember downloading another one, but I can't seem to find it. Oh my God. I have the new Laura K. Hamilton book, Affliction.
Oh, cool.
How the hell did you do that?
Because it's not in the, it's not in my Kindle app, so I wasn't looking at it. But, yeah, it came out technically today, which is yesterday, which is, well, it came out Tuesday, which is technically yesterday, because it's 1:55 my time right now, so it technically came out yesterday, which is Tuesday, so it's very wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey, but so far, a lot of people have put reviews, and I think the highest right now is like 4.5 stars. Which is saying something, because Kiss the Dead was like 2.5 to 3, so
I don't like you no more. I don't get Affliction for like a week. I don't like you right now, because we're in Australia. We're over the other side of the other side of the world, and they're like
other side of the what?
And they don't need it yet. They're a little bit
You're
slow
on the other
down
side of
there.
The country.
What? That's what I was mistakenly saying, yes, but it's not a country. It's the world.
I totally meant that as one joke, but then I realized, oh my God, that was a double joke.
I may need to bleep that. Anyway.
Nah.
I don't like you when you have the Laura K. Hamilton's book before me. That's not fair.
Well, tell you what. I will make it through all of Marianne Depere's books and then work my way down and then wait for you to get Affliction. How about that?
Like that's going to happen.
I will. I will wait.
The only thing is, it doesn't matter when I buy it. I've got review books to get through, so it's going to take me a while to get to it. So you may as well read it, honey.
Then I'll read it now. Okay, and speaking of, real quick, last week we talked about Marianne Depere. I think it should be said again.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, which is Friday for us, is the last day you can get it for free.
The whole three. UK and all US only, not Australia and New Zealand. Because apparently Amazon sucks. Just saying.
Which books am I looking for?
Burn Bright.
They're called... Oh, God!
Burn Bright.
Just give me the author again.
Marianne Depere. If you really want to Australianize it and bastardize it, it's Marianne Depere's.
Which is Burn Bright, Angel Arias, and Shine Light.
Yes.
So, you know, we have boasted, we have talked about, we have just
promoted
adored,
the crap out of it.
Yes, we promoted the crap out of it. Marianne is a personal friend, so, you know, it needs to be said. And thank you to everyone that has gone on to Facebook or Twitter and found the links and shared it to your friends.
Yeah.
You are awesome.
And, you know, she's in quite a few of the top lists on Amazon right now, too, with those
I
books.
Heard. She's worked her way up to the top 100 free books.
Fantastic. So
at least
well,
two
I'm,
of them.
I'm just helping with that right now, so.
You can't pass up free books. I mean, come on.
Really can't. Three of them. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if it was just one, but this is all three, which means you can buy all three at once, and then you can read them, and you're not sitting there going, oh, I don't have enough money to buy the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate that.
And but, if nothing else, if you don't read the books, at least you've got the cover art, because that is amazing cover art.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. And even on your Kindle app, because I'm looking at the Kindle app right now that I have on my tablet, and it has that art, and it is gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Angel Arias. Angel Aria's art is absolutely stunning. That's
yes,
my favorite, I think, yeah.
Beautiful.
I can't decide whether...
Although Burn Bright's really good as well, actually.
Yeah, I can't decide if I prefer, like, which one's my favorite, Angel Aria's or Burn Bright.
Yeah, I like both of those.
I've got those two on T-shirts. Nah.
Okay, so there is one other thing I'd like to say, and I will say this for any author, whether they be underground or, you know, just coming into it or trying to get a foot in. If you like what you read, go and leave a review. Word of mouth, everything. Excuse me. All of this is what, you know, you can advertise the hell out of something, but if you don't talk about it to other people, no one's going to listen.
Word of mouth is a very powerful thing.
Exactly. Especially if you've got it for free, because if they've let you have the book for free, the least you can do is leave a review, because it does make a huge impact. You might think that a peer review doesn't make that much difference, but to self-published authors, it's invaluable. And it's the least you can do if you're getting the book for free, is to... It doesn't have to be a massive in-depth analysis, but some sort of review, some sort of feedback. The feedback's always welcome, but it also encourages other people.
And it gives the author the chutzpah to keep going, because, I mean, if you're getting free books, they're not getting any money. Mm-mm. They're not earning royalties. So you're their bread and butter. You've got to pass it on. You've got to tell people, hey, these books are great. Go and buy them. Oh, they're not free anymore. Oh, shucks. You know. But
and see,
really,
we're
really
not
good.
Just saying this because, you know, we're hardcore fans of Marianne. You know, we're saying this for any author
that
you find. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyone that you like. And this goes for the same thing with musicians and artists and all this. If you like something, leave a review and tell other people.
So anyway, I might
be a bit behind the times, but I've just spotted that Amazon, I don't know whether it's just a UK thing, are doing the something with the cloud player where every album you've ever bought from Amazon, they then upload a digital copy of it, if it's available in digital copy, onto your cloud player. And I just sort of logged in this week and suddenly found that I've bought somewhere in the region of 113 albums from them. I'm like, oh my God, give me my money back.
That's a really big cloud. That's a thunder cloud. Goodness. Okay.
Well, I'm liking the idea.
Anyway, I've been reading too, believe it or not.
Yay!
Oh, sorry.
You're right. Okay, I've finished Title by Amanda Hocking that I was talking about last week. I'm currently reading Dreamless by Josephine Angelini, and that's book two in the series. I've been given book three to review, but I've got to read book two first. And I have been given Paula Weston's book called Shadows, and it's the Refame book one or something or other, but that's for the Burn Bright Book Club for in a couple of months. And today in the mail I received Victoria Schwab's The Archived. So I have had books literally coming out my rear end. Oh my God, it's not very comfortable, let me tell you. So
I can imagine, especially the really big omnibus ones. And
yeah, you know, that red one.
I was actually about to say something about that. I'm so jealous that you got a book that was, like, retail priced of $40 and you got it for $8.
I know.
I'm so jealous of that.
That's so cool. And it was in really good condition, too.
We're all having our book nerdgasms at the moment. Like, oh, $8?
Yep, that is how good that fest is, and that is why I have the rule of you can only buy what you can take on the bus. Because if I didn't have that rule and I went and got myself a shopping cart or a trolley or whatever the heck you want to call it, I would be in deep poo-poo. That would be a phone call home going, honey, you need to come get me and like, take me home, and you might want to take the kid to your parents because she ain't going to fit in the back seat.
Just fit it all in Tetris style, lay the kid over there.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah, this is a brand new kid seat. Yes, it does look like a stack of books. Isn't that amazing? Okay, see you, bye. Oh, dear. Okay, so let me line up a special piece of music. And then we'll get on to the whole purpose of having Ellie on the show. Because we do actually have a reason. It's not just to say hiya.
Oh, no, that's good too.
It's good too, but, yeah. but we do actually have a reason. Hang on a second, let me play the music, and then we'll get to it. You ready? Just it could be a little loud, just warning you. Okay, you ready? That is the signal for anybody who does not like Doctor Who to go and make themselves a cup of coffee. So
exactly.
What have you...
Yay!
What have you been doing lately, Ali?
I went to Doctor Who convention in Birmingham over the weekend. And the guest of honour was Catherine Tate,
who
just does not do the... She doesn't do the con circuit. This is her first ever convention appearance.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah. She is so, so nice and obviously funny, you'd expect that, and really warm, kind of, and engaging so well with the fans. She was just absolutely awesome.
I was about to say, did you snuggle her?
I did hug her. I did.
Oh.
But that's like the first incident, shall we say, was the photo shoots. And then basically when, I don't know, if people know, but when you're doing the official photo shoots, you all queue up and you sort of walk in and it's, hi, nice to meet you, take a picture, walk out the other side. And that's kind of, it goes through like that. It's all quite quick. And I've managed to get myself ready so that I wasn't going to just go, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you. Can we turn back to back for the picture? And she's like, oh, yeah. We'd stand and take the picture, which incidentally, because we were back to back, she's done a lovely serious face, sort of looking arms folded, and I've got the hugest grin on my face, so kind of blew that shot.
I'm touching Catherine Tate.
But then I'd seen a guy about 6 or 8 in front of us ask her if he could have a quick hug when they'd taken the photo. So I said to Rezzy when I was in the queue, I'm going to ask for a hug. So photo taken, and I turned around and said, can I have a quick hug, please? And she went, oh, of course. And she gives, like, it was a really warm, tight hug, you know, rather than a perfunctory one. And I went, oh, it's so nice to meet you, and I'll see you later at the autograph sessions. Absolutely fine. Turned away to walk away from the backdrop that they were using for the photographs, and could see Rezzy standing off to one side, my friend, and instantaneously went, oh my God, I got a hug, oh my God, right in front of us. And I was like, I didn't even like take 2 steps before I went total fangirl. So that was the first incident, which, because by the time I actually got level with Rezzy, I went, oh my God, I should have done that at the back of the room, shouldn't I? But so we go to the autographs later in the day, and I was in front of Rezzy this time, so I got my stuff signed and sort of said hi, and you briefly get to speak to her. And I stepped off to one side to wait for Rezzy, and I wasn't really concentrating. I was probably looking at my photo thinking, why did I smile? Don't I look at Pratt? Because they get the prints back so you can have your photo with them signed by them later.
Aww.
And I was sort of looking at my photo, and all I heard from the left was Catherine Tate say to my friend Rezzy, because you look like you've got a big machine outside. And I was like, what have I just heard? Because Rezzy, he likes rock and metal, and he's got tattoos, and he dresses in black with like pictures of skulls on his T-shirt, etc. So I'm sort of, my head shot round to what have I just heard. And it was just as she was signing in his Doctor Who Encyclopedia by Gary Russell. And she was signing it across a picture of herself. But the jacket she had on was dark, and she was signing in black pen. So she signed across her chest. So I just looked at her and went, oh, look, you just signed your own boobs. Oh, God, that was in my head. It should never have come out of my mouth. But she just looked at me and laughed and said yes and not for the first time. And I was like, oh, got away with that one then. So, yeah, foot in mouth. Look, I don't stop at the foot. Let's take it all the way to the knee or the thigh. But the actual, I then asked Rosie once we walked off, what on earth was she saying? And it turned out she said to him, have you got a motorbike? Because of the way he looks. And he said no. And the reply was, oh, because you look like you've got a big machine outside. But if you only heard that last part, trust me, that was weird.
Okay. Well, do you want to have a feel and find out? It's like, oh, God.
I'll give you a ride.
Oh, no. But apart from that, I seem to have managed to get through the entire convention without coming across as anybody too weird and scary, which is quite impressive, particularly as some of the guests I'd met last year, they were back this year. So, you know, it could have been like a year-long stalking session, but I think I got away with it.
Woohoo!
Yeah, no restraining orders from this one, so that's cool. She did about an hour-long guest talk and Q&A session at the end of the day. She was just amazing from the start. Sean opened by saying to her, you know, this is your first appearance at a convention, sort of, how are you finding it? And she said, yeah, it's great. I've really, really enjoyed it because, you know, before I came, I didn't really know what it was going to be like. I didn't know if you guys were going to be offering me blood. And that was just like the opening to it. And a girl from New York asked her a question. Jackie, you'll appreciate this. She asked her a question. And as Catherine was answering the question, she slipped into starting to do an American accent. And then she spotted herself and said, oh, wow, I've started picking up your accent. And then started doing it even more in a sort of mocking way. And then suddenly stopped and went, oh, my God, how rude was that? She was just so natural and awesome. So I don't think that she'll start doing the regular con circuit that perhaps will take her. Although she might. I think she might be in America now anyway quite a lot. And that's what I think she'd be more likely to start picking up on the circuit. But she was just an amazing guest. I've not laughed so hard. And Mark Shepherd and his dad last year were so funny. But Catherine Tate was just amazing. A guy got up to ask a question and said, hi, Karen. Because Karen Gillan was supposed to be a guest as well. But I think it was just sort of nerves. And she was like, right, yeah. And she pulled, do you guys know her comedy characters? The Am I Bothered, Lauren?
From the Catherine Tate show.
You don't know anything.
Look at my face. Look at my face. Am I bothered?
Am I bothered, though? Am I bothered? I ain't bothered. I ain't bothered. Well, she kind of slipped into that character and was just mocking him and calling him like lots of different names, but it was very nice. And then when he sort of finished his question and he stumbled over someone else's name, and she was like, memory's not your strong point, is it, mate? And I was thinking, well, that's not helping his nerves. But sort of at the end she said, come on everybody, give, I can't remember, I think his name was Les, but it was, give Alan a big round of applause for being the biggest sport. I could just tell you everything about her talk. It was just, it was golden. I mean, at one point she started making people cry just because she was, their answers were really great, and she was talking about Donna's departure from the show and sort of how that, discussing how that, you know, the concept was and how that would feel, and it was just, she was absolutely brilliant, definitely.
See, I'm kicking myself now because we had Alex Kingston out here for Supernova at the Gold Coast, and she ended up getting...
For those of you that don't know.
Yeah, River Song, if you don't know. But she ended up getting food poisoning, so she wasn't actually able to go on the day that I was there. So it wouldn't have mattered a whole
lot.
You
tried to kill Alex Kingston?
I wasn't even there. Like, Supernova
well, I
runs...
you as in Australia.
Well...
Oh, she was supposed to guest at the same con last year, but she had to cancel because of work commitments, so we missed her last year as well.
So it'll be interesting to see whether she makes it out to Brisbane Supernova, because if she does, I'm thinking maybe? I don't know. It's a lot of money to get that stuff done, though. It's like, ridiculous amount of money.
You know, I have to say that I hate the two of you right now. Like, I seriously hate both of you.
Well, just because we have nerd cons everywhere.
Well, here's why. Mm-hmm. Okay? The chance of me ever going to one of these cons is slim and none, because there is one in New Orleans called Louisiana Mania or something. I can't remember what it's called now. It's something weird. It uses Louisiana and goes into anime and something else.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the most famous, which is San Diego Comic Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there's Dragon Con, which I would love to go to, which is in Atlanta, which is in Georgia.
Yeah.
There's one in New York. So, like, it's, like, everywhere but anywhere near me. Oh, there's one in St. Louis, too, which is in Missouri. So, I'll never be able to go to one of these unless I make a day trip out of it. And by a day trip, I don't mean go there and go back. I mean spend 9 or 10 or more hours driving there. Because to get from here to San Diego is 23 hours worth of driving.
Well,
we've had there was definitely Americans at the con at the weekend again. Last year, I met up with two girls from Israel. I met some people from Australia that come over to England for a con. So,
Belinda, you stop.
23 hours driving doesn't actually let you off the hook, you know.
Mm-mm. 23 hours in a plane, honey.
I can't take a plane. Not to mention, I really don't want to have to worry about LAX.
Why?
You've obviously never heard the horror stories of LAX. That's the airport in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
Belinda sucks at geography, so I have to explain.
I'm giving you the finger right now, just so you know that.
Belinda in American geography is kind of like me and, you know,
Australian geography. It suckers.
So I have to explain, you know, the little things. And,
you know, that's both of us that have insulted her in the last 5 minutes, because I said, oh, you don't know anyone, do you? And now you're saying you don't know where you are either.
Sorry. High five, Allie! Woo! there's that factor, and it's also the factor of, you know, a lot of these cons are, like, really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any money. Like, none. I'm broke. And, yeah, like, and besides, even when I do get to go... Like, even if I could go to, like, the St. Louis one or the New Orleans one, no one that I know goes to those. They always go to Dragon Con or San Diego Comic Con. Mm.
It doesn't matter, because you're never alone for very long at a convention.
Mm-mm. And watch out for the normal-looking ones. They're the weirdos.
So yeah.
It's the ones that... But, I don't know, stay away from the great unwashed, too. They must be able to use a bar of soap, because otherwise it's just...
I will say this, though. I know that the last Comic-Con in San Diego, they were talking about the influx of Doctor Who characters. Because, you know, usually it was anime or whatever the end thing was, but they saw, like, maybe 1-2 Doctor Who cosplayers. But this last time, they had, like, at least a fourth of the cosplayers there, which they talk in numbers of like 100,000 people.
Yeah.
So a fourth of that had Doctor Who cosplay. Now, my question is, though, since both of you have gone to conventions, is there a big difference as far as like crowds and, you know, all this between
England and Australia, and I wonder how that would compare to, say, America.
Well, the ones that I go to are run by Star Fury, a company called Star Fury, and they do. I mean, we've got a Sherlock one later in the year. He's doing another Doctor Who one next year, a Game of Thrones one. I think he's got a general sci-fi one next year as well. But these are really small, really. For the one that I went to last year where Matt Smith was there, and for this one, I reckon there was probably only about 500 people there. And he ran one at the latter end of last year called Midnight, which had David Tennant and Billy Piper as the guests of honour. And that had about 1,000. But that's partly why I like these cons, because, you know, it's in a hotel. It's in one of the Hilton hotels. That's where they hold it. And quite often, a lot of the guests will be hanging out in the bar. They're all staying the weekend anyway. And you get a lot of personal time with people and a lot of access. And with having a lot fewer people, say the autograph sessions don't have to go on for so long, nor do the photograph sessions. And over the two main days, the guest talks are pretty much repeated. It's exactly the same schedule for both days. So if you do need to trade off and miss a guest talk because you're having a photo shoot with someone else, you can probably catch their guest talk again the next day. So that's a sort of small one. But the other event, type of event that I go to is the signing events, like Collectomania, where I'm basically all that happens is people are sat at tables and they sign autographs, and you pay for the autographs individually, and they do some photo shoots, and maybe they might have a panel. Last year they had Peter Davison, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann, Colin Baker and Tom Baker, and I get the feeling there was a Five Doctors guest panel that you had to pay separately to go to. And those are quite big. Those can have some absolutely ridiculous amount of footfall, because it's just, like I say, going up and getting an autograph. There's not much time to chat unless they've got nobody at their table, in which case I bowl up to them anyway and have long conversations with them. So that's the two types of events that I've been to. But I know the at least the American cons are huge.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's generally three types of con in Australia as well. You've got Supernova, which is just a general everything. Gaming, cosplay, anime, manga, just books in general, because they actually have the booksellers there and everything. And you know, that's where Marianne hangs out and sells books and stuff like that. And then you've got Gen Con, but it's not so much around anymore. I think the organiser of that one got sick, so I don't think they're doing Gen Con anymore. But it was more geared towards gamers. So they actually had, you know, tables set up and everything like that for the table games. And that was a bit meh. And then you have... it's more than three. Then you've got Animania, and that one is just basically all anime and manga and stuff like that. And the amount of Death Note people at that one, you're like, oh, wow. Okay, so we really like Death Note this year. Cool, okay. and then you have your individual ones that are dedicated to, you know, your programs. Like, we usually have a Star Trek one out here at least once a year. We just had a Doctor Who one with I don't know how many doctors, but it was an absolute fortune to get into it. I'm thinking, I don't know any of those guys. I think I was hiding behind the lounge chair when I last saw you. But yes, they are all very expensive. They are like Supernova in Brisbane. Oh, there's no air conditioning, and it's a really small room, and people insist on having the biggest costume in the room, and you're like, dude, stop it. But apart from that, you know, it's a really good chance to catch up with like-minded people, and again, watch out for the normal-looking people, because they're the ones you want to avoid. The ones in the large costumes are usually pretty cool. They're just really annoying, because they take up all the damn space.
I know. I've seen pictures from Dragon Con, and I mean, Dragon Con is quite small in comparison to San Diego.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, way smaller. But yeah. I've seen pictures from people going to Dragon Con, and these are like, they put a lot of work into their costumes. It is gorgeous sometimes.
Isn't it amazing? It's one of the things that I absolutely love about, whether it's the sort of what I would call a convention as opposed to a signing event, but they turn up at the signing events as well. We saw an absolutely amazing Borg from Star Trek, and he'd made his entire costume himself. And I was like, wow, that must have cost a bit. And he's like, no, I was just used whatever was laying around. And the creativity that goes into it is just stunning. I mean, we have, at the Star Fury ones, they always have a fancy dress competition on one of the nights, because there's, once the sort of guest talks and signings, etc. is done, the evening is always a party, and they have party themes. Mm-hmm. And the Saturday is usually a fancy dress competition that the guests judge. And the costumes were just stunning, absolutely stunning.
See, because Brisbane Supernova is the end of the line when it comes to Supernova for the year, they actually hold the Madman, which is a big anime anime company, and they hold their finals for the cosplay in Brisbane. So the quality of cosplay is just wow out of the water. I love it every year. However, you know, to get to like the after dinner drinks and all that type of stuff, you've got to have VIP tickets. And yeah, nah.
Very what expensive. Sort of price are the tickets?
Hang on, I am actually on the website, so I can check that right this second. Let me see. Come on. Okay, which ticket?
And do the tickets include any autographs, or is it just tickets to attend, and then you pay for the autographs separately?
Find out which ticket is best for you. I wish you just have all this in here, you stupid thing.
Yeah, just...
Come on.
Just a page that actually shows you the useful information all in one place.
Yes, that would be... Well, you know, help page. Let's see. What have we got? Superfan Weekend Pass is $47.50. Pre-purchase through Foxtix. And it's $55 at the door. Opening night... what is it? That includes a Saturday thing, a Sunday thing, includes access to the main showroom floor, all non-exclusive Q&A panels and seminars, photos, and a signature opportunity with all our superstars. Photos and autograph fees apply for certain of the superstars, with this information listed on their individual web pages.
Wow, so, that's actually really reasonable. That's not expensive at all. But it says you have autograph opportunities, but that doesn't necessarily mean that...
That's Sydney. That was Sydney. They don't have the Brisbane prices up yet. Hang on, they got VIP Superstar. Ooh, yeah, here we go. VIP Superstar 2013, Sydney and Perth, $780 each.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
But that's probably going to be one where you go to a private drinks reception or a meal with them, and it's good. That sounds like the sort of super tickets that we can get over here as well. I mean, Star Fury, who we go to, they have the gold tickets, which are £160, which is, what, close on $300 American? And probably what, more Australian, because that's a different exchange rate. I don't know your exchange rate, unfortunately.
Times it by about three. Okay,
so that's nearly $500.
Yeah.
But for that, you get an autograph from every single one of the guests. You get priority seating at the front of the hall for all the guest talks. You get a private meet and greet that's only for gold ticket holders on the opening night.
Yep.
You get priority in the autograph queues. You get priority in the photo queues.
Mm-hmm.
But the regular ticket is £90, which is about 130 American and about 270 Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, you also get an autograph from all the main guests. Sometimes you'll have a couple of bonus guests that are surprise guests at the last minute, and those aren't included. And you still get access to all the talks and everything, but you've got the seating further back in the hall. And you have to wait until the gold ticket holders have had all their autographs and photo shoots and stuff before you go through. But the way Sean runs it, every single person, nobody gets, you know, they don't run out of time. Nobody comes away going, I got a regular ticket and it was a really high number, so I didn't get my autographs. Mm. But when you consider when we went to Milton Keynes, which is free entry, but it's one of those where everyone's sat at a table signing, the autograph for Gillian Anderson, I think that was £25.
That's not too bad.
Last year, Karen Gillan was £25. So if you had, and I know some places David Tennant's been like between £30 and £40. So when you think we've got a ticket and we got, I mean, this year, they'd had three guest cancellations. Because David Warner, David Bradley and Karen Gillan had cancelled. And we still got 9 autographs included in our ticket price for £90.
That's not bad. But, I mean,
yeah, so,
$780 bucks. I mean, I know we got George R. R. Martin coming, but freaking hell, dude.
There are some like that for some of the bigger conventions in London. But like I say, that tends to include a drinks reception or meal or something.
There's a drinks reception in there, but I generally don't eat anything because everything's got cheese and potato in it. And I don't tend to drink alcohol because I offer people foot rubs when I'm drunk. So we don't do that.
But you've got to bear that's a meet and greet situation. Those drinks receptions or meals that are included are with the guests so that you can just socialise with them. That's why it costs
that. The only person that goes to Supernova that I actually give two hoots about is Marianne. I can go have coffee with her any old friggin' day. I don't need to pay $750 to go and see her. So it's all good.
It kind of reminds me of, like, concerts. To get, like, you can get regular seats, like, or like nosebleed section seats for, like, cheap. But, you know, the closer you get to the stage, and, like, let's say the Manson and Cooper one, it was $75, I think.
That's so cheap. I can't get over that.
Then you've got that might not include tax, so that's another $14. If it doesn't, I can't remember now. But then you've got the VIP, which you have to buy separately. That's $150.
That's still cheap. Well,
$150 plus $75.
That's still cheap.
It's still cheap, but
for a concert.
Yeah. And then you got to remember because I'm in Australia, they basically have to bring their entire set with them. So they've got to recoup their fees on that no matter what. So for floor seats for anything, you're looking at 200 plus at least.
What?
So nosebleed section, that's still 100. And that's not including booking fees or anything like that. That's just plain old out there. So, you know, then you get Bon Jovi coming out, $35, you'll be right. It's like, oh, dude.
But, in the, this is the one that killed me, is you get a whole, like, for the VIP, you get, like, a lot of different merchandise and stuff like that. But you don't get a t-shirt, which is another $40, unless you're, like, a huge person, then it's, like, $45. Which I was so happy that I didn't have to pay $45. I'll tell you, that's like the best boost to your self-esteem. If you don't have to pay $45, you can pay $40.
But none of the ticket prices over here, unless you're actually having it specifically done, includes any of the merchandise. Like Pink Concert Tour this time comes with a CD if you get the VIP experience, which apparently costs the same this time unless you're getting floor seats, and it's like, I've already got the CD. That's a bit waste of time. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we have, how long have we got left? We have about 6 minutes left, and I really, really, really want Jackie to read this story because it's a running joke between us about this particular band. And it must be red.
Oh, man.
Anybody who's been listening all this year would have some idea of what's been happening. So go ahead.
Okay. I can't pronounce that name to save my life.
Just call her Nadia Wheelbarrow.
Okay. Hate you. Just remember, turnabout is fair play.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward to it.
All is fair in love and war. Mostly war. But anyway. Pussy Riot star granted parole review. Let's see how... Let's do a running count. Wait, no. Hang on. No, there's only one other mention of the band. Aww. Never mind. Usually they have it like every other sentence, and it's like, pussy, 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 pussy. Jailed Pussy Riot star Nadezhda Tolokonnikova.
Yep, well done.
Parole application has been referred to a Russian Supreme Court. The musician, who was sentenced to 2 years in prison for hooliganism last year, jeez, they're strict, was denied early release in April, but officials at Zubovo Polyansky Court of the Republic of Mordovia have now ordered a review. Documents on that person's case have been sent to judges at the Republic Supreme Court to consider if the original decision to deny parole was unduly harsh. That person and her bandmates.
That person, yeah, that person, Serena. And Maria, that person.
No, I'm going to try. You're going to make me read. I'm going to try it.
Aww.
Yekaterina Samutsevich and Maria Alekhina were jailed for performing a protest song against Russian president. We're not going to be juvenile.
She says right before she pisses herself laughing. Fantastic.
I would be fine, but Ali keeps giggling and gets me started again.
Uh-huh.
No, totally not my fault.
Okay. I'm going to say this without laughing. Once in my life, I swear to God, today may not be the day, but I'm going to do it one day. Russian President Vladimir Putin at a church in Moscow in February last year.
Not today.
I say again, Putin and pussy should not be in the same story.
Well, obviously that's why they chucked him in jail.
Apparently. Oh my god. Okay. Smutsevich was freed in October when her sentence was commuted, but her two friends remained behind bars. Oh, was it so bad?
Yay.
Okay, and I've got one more to read, and I want Ali to tell me if this has actually occurred yet, because I've been waiting. Prince William and Kate Middleton sent condoms as a baby gift from Finland. Because, as we all know, Kate's about ready to plop. So, yeah. While former Prime Minister Julie Gillard now has more time to finish knitting her kangaroo for Prince William and Kate's baby, the Finnish government has got in early with their royal gift, which includes a pack of condoms. Yay! The strange president...
Strange President Putin.
They got sent condoms, and they were grateful. So, yay!
At least you didn't have to try to read any of the Finnish names. Oh my god, some of these Finnish names are ridiculous.
Wow. So, has she had the baby yet?
I have no idea. Why would you even think I would know something like that?
Because you're closer to England than the rest of us.
Yeah. And I'm figuring even if you live under the biggest rock in England,
I don't have TV.
That's all right. There'd be people running around going, "You're the girl, you're the girl."
No, I don't have TV, and I mean, I do obviously keep up with the news quite a lot, but I that's not news to me. It's I can't get enthusiastic about it.
So
I have no idea, but just for you, seems as you've asked me anyway, I will keep an eye out and let you know when the baby comes.
Last I checked is Kate Middleton could go into labor at any second. That was 10 hours ago. So as of right now, nope.
So in other words, she's probably been in labor for like the last 3 weeks, according to the media, and the baby's going to be an alien. So
yes.
Just as long as it doesn't
Shame like you didn't... Have me on when we had the whole gay marriage debate going through Parliament and the things that came out there. One guy who was saying, oh yes, but if we allow gays to marry, then we could end up with a lesbian queen who, oh my God, seriously, you've got that much of an issue? He said, if you allowed gay marriage, then what was to stop him marrying his own son to avoid inheritance tax?
Because that would be incest.
Well, there was so many answers to that. That's how bad it got on the debates.
Hey! No, I've got one even better. When the gay marriage debate was going through here, people kept saying things like, well, if you allow gay marriage, who's to stop people from marrying their dogs?
Uh-huh.
To which I saw someone respond, yes, because a dog can sign their name on a marriage certificate.
Well,
hang on, haven't you guys had like donkeys as mayors of towns and a cat? Really?
I really don't know.
An issue with marrying your dog?
Like, the only thing I know is there was one place in Kansas that changed its name to Google. It's still a hanging offense if you steal something in Texas, and you can beat your wife in California.
Nice. And apparently in Australia, wives are not allowed to change light bulbs. Their husbands have to do it. I'm serious.
You've got a state in America where it's illegal for bumblebees to fly backwards. I'm telling you, look it up. And I think it's actually in Swansea over here that it is still legal to shoot a Welshman if you see him on the walls of the town. Or it might not be Swansea. Yeah, I can't remember if that's actually our side of the border or theirs. But it's still legal to shoot a Welshman if you see him on the walls of the city on a Wednesday if you use a bow and arrow.
In New Orleans, it is illegal, and I really want to know, like, I wish I could have been there the day they had to write this law down. It is illegal in New Orleans to tie your pet alligator to a fire hydrant. And there's one state, I don't remember which state it is, because my God, there's 50 of them. But it is illegal to have, and I wish I could have been there for this one, too. It is illegal to have your horse in your bathtub.
Oh, I've got a cool mental picture now.
So now that we've left everybody with that giggly moment, we really have to go now. So no alligators on fire hydrants and no horses in baths.
And you can shoot a Welshman.
Yeah, but only with a bow and arrow on a Wednesday.
That's our public service announcement for all of you. You're so welcome. I'm glad we could do this service to the world.
Alrighty, with that fantastic note, we will say bye everyone and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
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 And this has been the Friday Catch-Up, powered by the ParaQuest Radio Network. Remember to catch the Hostess with No Ghostess every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the ParaQuest Radio Network.